There is a battle for talent in GovCon. Now, some people would say, oh yeah, that battle's always existed, but it's different today. As our modern world has become digitized, whether it's Coca-Cola or Home Depot or Google or all of the smalls, everybody is after cyber, agile, DevSecOps, coding, software talent, and it's fueling the battle. So today, we're really thrilled to have Robert Miller on the show. He's the CEO of SilverEdge. They're a next-gen provider of cyber and software and intel solutions for defense and the intel community, but they're winning that battle for talent. So we're here today to talk to Robert about how are you indeed pulling that off. So Robert Miller, it is great to have you on the show, man.
Eric, thanks for having me. Truly appreciate it. You guys are doing transformative things with GovCon Different.
Appreciate it, man. And as you know, we're trying just to connect audiences and give them tools, things that can help them on their daily job in GovCon. And one of the things that impressed me so much in talking with you is you have this ability to crystallize issues. And one of the things when we talk about this battle for talent, Robert, could you help us understand what that battlefield looks like? Why is it so hard to get great talent?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, in reality, the market is a jungle out there, right? There's a high demand for specialized talent, specialized skills. You know, technology advancements have really led to the rise of specialized roles. And there's a high demand for professionals with, you know, expertise in emerging fields such as AI and data science and cybersecurity, and the list goes on. But paired with that, really, there's a global talent shortage. Not only in the unclassified markets, but, you know, definitively in the classified markets. When you think about just a global shortfall on skilled labor, you know, STEM comes to mind from the ability to take individuals, whether they're, you know, coming right out of high school, you know, academia, the military, and transform them into the workforce of the future. There's a significant, you know, a shortage on talent. There's also, you know, a change in workforce demographics, right? We have aging populations, you know, we have a shrinking workforce. So the ability to train new and up-and-comers on what's needed for the battle of today, but more importantly, I think the battle of the future, it's a significant challenge. You know, technology is really accelerating at a rapid pace from an advancement perspective that I've actually never seen in my entire life. It's making it difficult for companies like myself and others really to find talent that's up to date with current skills. So really, as we transition into helping our customers with their problems, we're helping ourselves in the digital transformation by helping create and train employees really with that, let's just say, digital literacy or an adaptability that can, you know, hit challenges today and then hit challenges for tomorrow and maintain that level of proficiency, technical proficiency, I should say, you know, for the future. You know, I would say, you know, candidate empowerment is one of those things. You know, our people that we're trying to recruit and bring to SilverEdge, they could get a job anywhere. They could get a job in the commercial market. They could get a job with other providers within the defense industrial base. We're creating an environment where people want to be, I think, long-term, and that's really among things that kind of differentiate us.
Yeah, and there's a couple things you said that I find really interesting. One is this notion of digital literacy, and you're on the front lines of seeing what it's like out there, especially when you get into the classified world and the need for tickets and the pressure and the demand and, frankly, the skills that you've got to have. I'm not sure sometimes that a lot of folks that I know, if they're not really close to these markets, that they get how demanding it is, how tough it is. And when you talk about this culture of empowering folks, if you could explain to me a little bit more about that, because you guys on the front lines, in my view, are winning the fight. You're getting a lot of great people. So talk to me more about how you're doing it, that culture, how you're helping people grow.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, people have access to job opportunities in the commercial market that pay more money, that, you know, sometimes have remote work that have unclassified options that don't have to go into physical facilities, you know, actually sit in skiffs where there's no windows, in basements of buildings that, you know, nobody knows exist. You know, really, when it comes to a company culture, is us being able to lead employees to be more selective about where they apply, because they're being more selective. So we have to be a little bit broader in widening the aperture of what we're willing to accept, whilst maintaining the core element of our brand and making sure that we're still selective on who we want, which is, you know, really counterintuitive. But at the end of the day, you know, we're adapting to the market that's out there, because, like I said, mission sells at the end of the day, and these people can go and get jobs at higher rates, at higher salaries. But if we're able to convince them to stay in the marketplace because of the mission and show them an evolution of their career, then, you know, we're going to win the war on talent.
You know, Robert, when I think about it, if I were, let's say, a 35-year-old coder and I had mad skills, cyber, and I could do DevSecOps, Agile, and I was just great, and I'm being wooed by so many commercial market firms, Googles and mids and smalls, why would I want to work at SilverEdge? I mean, what are some of the fascinating mission problem sets that I might get to tackle that would make me say, huh, I'm going to give SilverEdge another look, because, wow, I can't get to do that in other places.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we support the intelligence community, DOD, and supporting agencies. I would offer that we have a unique placement and access to work on some of the coolest technology and mission sets that exist in reality, that are protecting our nation's security 24 hours a day. We have, you know, things that you may see on the news. We have things that you may never see on the news. We have technology and projects that are going on that are transforming the battle space across the board, from offensive cyber operations, defensive cyber operations, digital transformation, which blends really, really well with the commercial world. When you think about some of the analytical tradecraft that goes into, you know, analyzing anything, from an intelligence perspective, we're involved. And that could be, you know, commodity intelligence paper, that could be, you know, cyber related, that could be biological. Once you go down the list and you realize, you know, SilverEdge is really sitting in some unique customer sets, doing some unique work. And we're able to explain that, at least in an unclassified level, and in some cases, a classified level. That's really the parity that I think our recruiters are empowered with to get talent to come to SilverEdge, so really they can shape the future of their career as well. One point I do want to make is that, you know, myself, my leadership team, and really all at SilverEdge that we try to inspire, is to really be employee focused from the get-go. Every decision that we make as a leadership team is in regards to how does this impact the people. And I think that's an important piece. So, you know, when we're talking about mission, that's one thing. But when we start talking about employee and how we you know, quantify them in the sense of they are the most important part of our business. People are our brand, as I say. They're not a commodity, not a number. They're the most important, you know, part about our business. It's very important for us to hit that home because in reality, we're bringing somebody into, you know, our family, their teammates. And it really, I'm hoping to create enduring careers for those employees long-term. So they stay with SilverEdge for as long as, you know, they can, or, you know, finish out their careers. And there's an entire landscape of people that we have. You know, I would offer that I have 21-year-olds working for SilverEdge, but I also have up to 74-year-olds working for SilverEdge. It's a vast difference in the skill sets, not only hard technical skill sets, but also soft skill sets. And I think there's a learning opportunity as well, having that mix of people.
Yeah. And when you talk about that, I can tell there's a passion about it that, yeah, we've got to win business and we've got to grow, but I want this to be a place that people are proud to be a part of. If you would, Robert, just talk to me a little bit about that. Why does that mean so much to you? I mean, I can tell that setting up this environment where people are valued, there's an ethic there. I can see it. Why is that so important to you?
You know, Silver Edge was formed off the acquisitions of six different companies. Really, we wanted to create a strong brand, a strong culture, and really cultivate, a positive place where people could work. Really highlighting the testimonials and success stories, not only of the company, but more importantly, the people. Because like I said, people are our brand. They're really, showcasing those company values and pairing that with the mission sets is what has, enabled us to attract the talent that we have today and will continue to attract into the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about mission sets, and I've spent so much of my career working with folks to say that you can go out and give somebody a PowerPoint presentation that says, hey, here's why we're a great company, and here's what your salary will be and benefits and so forth. Yet what I've found is people are looking for something also as far as how can I connect with that? You know, can I be part of something that matters? And it reminds me almost when we think about winning the war for talent, there's an old scene in the movie Titanic where they go and find Rose and she's now a much older person. And you have this engineer who's saying, oh yeah, the ship, and it hits and it cracks right here and at this angle and so forth. And she says, yeah, that's a nice analytical description, but there was more to it. And she talks about and sets the stage for the whole movie of Titanic, the human aspects of the story. So when we talk about this mission storytelling and so forth, the gut, the intellect, connecting is so key. And do you see examples of that, Robert, where people actually came over and said, oh yeah, it was the mission side of it. Yeah, I can go do some of this, but this connected with me. Do you ever see those kind of examples?
Absolutely. I mean, I think everybody that is operating, at least in the market, in the sector that we're in, offers competitive, compensation and benefits. They're all different, but in reality, they're all relatively the same. Everybody says they invest in, employee development and, they have a, a positive work environment, but we really mean it. But when you pair that with the mission, I'll give you an example. We had an employee recently, he just started on contract probably less than 30 days ago. He got a job offer for $30,000 more to work in the commercial segment. He came back to our talent acquisition team and said, hey, here's the deal. I want to make a decision that's in the best interest of my family. I was presented with this offer, but I really enjoyed one, not only the conversation about who Silver Edge is, but I think more importantly, the people. But the most important aspect that I'm looking for is actually not the money. It's because Silver Edge, you're offering a unique pivot in my career that's going to take this person from an IT trajectory into the offensive cyber mission space. And he was more excited about working on an offensive cyber operation contract, supporting an intelligence community customer. And that was priceless to him. So we ended up having a conversation with him, thanks to our program manager and our talent acquisition team. And he ended up actually signing with Silver Edge. And he just started on contract, like I said, less than 30 days ago. And I couldn't be more excited because in reality, those are the success stories across Silver Edge that is really mission leading the impact in how we're transforming and really winning the war on talent. We're going to win by singles and doubles. And what I mean by that is it's going to be the individuals like I just mentioned and the stories that just happened that are going to enable us to create future opportunities for our current employees, but also create future opportunities for new employees of Silver Edge. And for that, I'm really, really excited.
That's exactly when I think about winning the battle for talent. And you talked about it. Everybody, oh yeah, we're unique. We're great. We have value. We have a ping pong table in the basement, whatever. Versus that story and somebody all of a sudden they go, whoa, offensive cyber. And I want to be a part of that. And I think that's so cool. And I love the new thinking about that and the leadership to do that. Are there examples, Robert, of where you've seen impact, where you've seen people in some of these mission sets pulling off the incredible that not only helped you get them, but they stay, right? It's that retention part again of where they're not leaving because they're like, whoa, I was just able to do something that I can't talk about, but man, it was incredible.
Yeah, I've had the unique opportunity to engage with a lot of different customers in my current role. One of the unique things is usually when I go in and talk to these customers, they brag about our people. They brag about, one, not only who they are, their work ethic, but more importantly to them, the mission impacts that they're having for our nation. You know, I would offer that, one specific customer set, you know, I got a letter from the prime contractor, because we're actually a sub on this specific work, providing kudos and I think, which I think was just a nice gesture, a monetary request that came from the government to ensure that we took care of this person. And so we ended up being able to give that person, a monetary bonus because of the impact that they had. Now that impact, I can't speak to, but it is something that you would have seen on TV. It was something that helped with a mission, a plan, and we were at the forefront, not only that person, but her team, which included not only Silver Edge employees, but others within Silver Edge and they worked for other companies in a mixed, work environment. Mm-hmm. That's just one of many, but I would tell you that it was at the level of nation state, significance and importance, probably just leave it at that.
No, I totally get it though. And I can't tell you over my career how many times I've had people tell me that maybe they worked for years doing something, but when they got into these mission sets, they had two things. One is they didn't really understand how important the mission is. And when you get deep into it, wow, the tension, the pressure, how concerning, how scary it can be. But they couldn't fully appreciate how when you make that impact. And you and I, we've known people like this our whole careers, right? Where they stay because they know they're doing something. It was that hero notion you're talking about before. They know that they're making an impact. So you've served in the Navy, and the mission for you, it's not some concept. It matters to you. And from your perspective, Robert, why does it matter to you so much? Because a lot of people say it and they put it in their taglines, but it matters to you. And I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it matters to me because I've seen firsthand, I was a Navy cryptologist. I served on Operation Iraqi Freedom. I've seen what technology enabled solutions allowed not only myself, the teams that I worked for, the leadership that I worked for to accomplish. I also saw where there was support that we didn't have. There was technology that we could have had. So for me, when I came out of the Navy, the first job I had was actually going right back in and working on the capability set and the systems that I used and deployed while I was an active duty member. Mm-hmm. In that light, every line of code, every test, really every job, all the way from being a tester all the way to a program manager, and even now in my current role, is important because I know that the work that we're doing is going to impact the warfighter. And I feel this for all the people at Silver Edge. I take it very, very seriously, knowing that when I wake up in the morning, the work that I'm going to do is enabling our people to go and fight the fight for our nation. And that's across the entire IC, that's across the DOD, the service, components, whether it's the Army, whether it's the Navy, whether it's the Marine Corps, whether it's the Coast Guard, whether it's the Air Force, we're supporting them in a variety of different manners. And for that, one, I'm grateful because I know that the team that I have the fortunate opportunity to lead are the ones that are making that impact on a day-to-day. And I think as a military member, it's important for me to convey how important it is for those that may not have been military members for the work that they're doing, because a significant portion of our workforce aren't military members. They came out of academia and in some ironic fashion made their way into the roles that they're in. because of their technical talent. But what they may not understand is how it is impacting the tip of the spear. And so that's why for me, it's a passion play in the sense that I want to make sure we're protecting the people that are protecting us at all costs. And if I have, you know, the opportunity to do that, I'm going to give 110%.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what, when you talk about conveying that to people that maybe don't understand, how do you do that? I mean, is it, do you talk to the whole company? Do you do one-on-ones? Kind of what do you do and say to folks to kind of really get them to understand this a bit better?
Yeah, I would say it's forced through the trees. You've heard that term before. You know, the work that we're doing is at the tree level. The example that I would give, it's compartmentalized. People may not understand fully how what they're doing contributes to a broader picture. I like to pull people outside of the trees and make them look at the forest and understand, you know, what the broader impact is. And some of that can happen by, you know, asking them, hey, how is this, what you're doing impacting, you know, this mission? How is what you're doing impacting this technology? And when you start to kind of peel the onion, people get excited. And then in some cases, they have, you know, an eye-opening moment where they realize that what they're doing is greater than what they're doing. And in reality, when you pair that with the customer feedback, and really keeping that frequency and cadence up, it empowers people, you know, to understand the broader picture. You know, one point that I do want to make is, you know, one of the most unique things I have, the ability to do is create opportunities for our employees. And somebody may be working on a, information technology contract today, and they may pivot to a, you know, defensive or offensive cyber operation contract tomorrow. But that ability to transition from one mission set to another is getting people up and seeing the forest through the trees, because in our market segment, the landscape is vast. You can work in the intelligence community your entire career and not even scratch the surface of what United States is doing. Really at a nation state level to protect our security and ensure, you know, freedom long term.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And, you know, there's been a lot of studies that talk about leaders like you. And when they not only look at the trees, but the forest and that storytelling, that it connects with people more on a visceral level and they remember it more, connects more with different parts of the brain. They're interpreting the story as if it happens to themselves. And the power of that in winning the battle for talent, I think, is just amazing. I'd like to talk with you a little bit about the future. When we think about AI and ChatGPT, and of course, the world is abuzz with all of this stuff, it feels to me, Robert, like it's an infinite game. Like if you come into this with a mindset that, okay, I'm going to win, I'm going to have the best AI, and we'll have this buttoned up by, it is changing as we're talking so fast. So I would love to get your thoughts on the future, this infinite game, and how can we as national security community and SilverEdge really play this game well? How can we compete better than our adversaries?
Yeah, that's a long, that's a long answer. I could probably talk for, 2 hours on that.
All right, man, we're not going anywhere. Let it rip.
people, companies, organizations, groups, adversaries, whether you're playing a finite game or an infinite game, they make decisions differently. For us in SilverEdge, we're playing an infinite game and we act accordingly. Relative to embracing technology, one piece that I would offer is that I think we're, I'd like to say that we're radically agile in the sense of we have to maintain that agility and adaptability, not only for the company at whole, but more importantly for technology. As technology is evolving at a faster pace than I've ever seen, and that I think the world's ever seen, obviously driven by AI, 5G and others. For us to stay relevant in this marketplace, we have to stay at that cutting edge. The essence of SilverEdge and then even just naming SilverEdge was to make sure that we do just that. you know, when we look at our customers, you know, staying agile and staying adaptable, it's market demands, it's employee expectations, it's embracing the new trends in technology, and really changing technology as it relates to talent and talent management. If we're not staying at the forefront, we're not going to attract the right talent for our company. If we can't attract the right talent for our company, we're not going to attract the right talent for our customers. If we're not able to attract the right talent for our customers, we're not going to be relevant in supporting their missions today or, more importantly, in the future. And so we're taking a holistic view on that at SilverEdge.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's awesome. And I think about when we're bringing some of these new capability sets to customers, and sometimes the intel or the system that they're responsible for, the intel reports, it's life and death. So you've really got to trust what AI, what some of these systems are giving you, right? And there's a traceability aspect. There's a human in the loop aspect. Your thoughts on that, of how in the future that industry and government can partner together so that the trust is there when these things are really being fielded on the front lines?
Yeah. You know, when I think back, I was at an organization that created an automated remediation capability for cyber. That was probably 10 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. It was well ahead of its time. In the sense that it did have AI-enabled capabilities, and there wasn't a man in the loop. In reality, it was probably too soon, and it was ahead of its time from an adoption standpoint. I think inherently, as we look into the future, AI will drive a lot of the innovation, autonomy, whether it's a platform-related or otherwise, is going to be a necessity. You see that across the landscape, whether it's with drones, whether it's with airplanes, whether it's with, you know, offensive cyber capabilities or defensive cyber capabilities. A person can't always be there. Mm-hmm. What I would offer is that, you know, when you think about the data integrity that goes into these systems, it's paramount to any essential, you know, successful operation that you get it right. And sometimes, you know, a computer can do that much better than a human can. But there is a level of human engagement that needs to occur. And maybe that's, you know, from data integrity checks, you know, and other technology advancements that allows a human to oversee what that AI capability is doing or not doing or actioning. But what I would offer is that, you know, in the end, we're going to get to the point where AI is driving decision grade capabilities. I mean, if you think about JADC2 mm-hmm. and joint domain, you know, command and control, in the end, the evolution of something like that is the government will want to have an autonomous capability. But right now, we're just not there. When mm-hmm. we think about how that compares to our adversaries, I would say there's a lot of things that hold us back that we need to work on. That could be technology advancements. That could be acquisition. That could be ethical approaches to AI. In some cases, if you think about countries such as China, do you really think that they're sitting down and worrying about ethical approaches to AI? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Acquisition schedule. And you think about flash to bang, how capabilities are being delivered to the warfighter at the speed of relevancy. You know, I was informed the other day that one of our government customers, from the time of need of a requirement to when that work is actually being delivered, is over 34 months. Mm-hmm. Chinese, they don't have that problem. So we're going to have to do things, I think, at a nation state level that are going to shrink that time. And really enable our warfighters in a much more meaningful way if we're going to win the future.
And that, in my view, and again, that leadership to say, here's what's really in front of us. You can go work on AI and you can sell all kinds of different little shorts on YouTube and paperweights and all of that. Or you can be part of this battle. You love this country, number one. Do you care about the missions? But just as you talked about it, this notion of, well, how are we going to do AI ethically? How are we going to have a human in the loop? How are we going to, if we're serious about it, looking at where China is, they don't worry about privacy. I mean, people have social credit scores over there. They're churning out things at an unbelievable rate. How are you going to help us win that battle? Right? So by winning the battle for talent, we're really talking about winning a bigger battle. And man, Robert, I love the way you walk through that, because that, I think, is why you guys have been successful. And to me, that's just how you win the battle for talent. I think the old think that we can show up and have job fairs and talk to people, package, yeah, there's some things that always need to be there. Needs to be, you know, good salary, good culture. But connecting that, that's next level, in my view. So I really like how you explain that. So let me ask you a final question. I know some people, and especially right now, let's be honest, in this country, there's division, there are tough times. And I see some people that almost the heads are down. They're like, ah, oh, they're complaining. They're in this mindset. I don't see that in you. I see this guy that is engaged and says, we can do this. We can make it happen. What keeps you optimistic and saying, no, we're just beginning this fight? What keeps you driven, man?
Well, I would say first and foremost, it's my family. You know, I grew up with a mother and father that were what I would consider had an unwavering resilience. So I think I was born into never giving up. I'm an eternal optimist as well. At the end of the day, I think we have a lot to be fortunate for, not only from a nation perspective, but also from the landscape that I have at Silver Edge. You know, we're building a great company. I'm positive about where we're going. One of the unique things that I think that has really motivated me is just meeting our employees, meeting our teammates. When you sit down and you shake a hand of a man or a woman and hear about them and where they came from and what they're doing and where they want to go, it sits with you. And in reality, you know, again, like I said, one of the unique things about my role is I feel like I'm creating opportunities not only for our current employees, but for future employees. And that's the most exciting piece for me. You know, in the end, I want to make sure that we do build a great culture. I like going into work and being excited about, you know, just that, going into work. Mm-hmm. I've been at organizations, whether they're small or large, you know, publicly traded, that the culture is different. Culture is king. It means mm-hmm. the most out of anything. You can have great technology. You can have great, you know, investment. You can have great capital. You can have great people. But in reality, if you don't have the right culture, the positive attitude, making sure that you have, you know, a focus on the employee, you know, in the end, it's going to deteriorate your culture. And so for us, the way that I stay positive is I've surrounded myself by people that I believe are servant leaders. You know, I wake up in the morning and my job is to lead and take care of our people. And in reality, I focus on, you know, 8 or 10 folks that end up taking care of the rest of the organization. And so I guess my job in reality is to inspire. I heard a great quote from someone, I can't remember who it was, that said, you know, a CEO has no current relevant skills. I actually took that to heart. But then I peeled back the onion and I realized that my job is half the battle is to be positive. But I have an unwavering resilience. You know, business isn't easy. There's always tough choices to be made. But in the end, I think if we make the decisions that are in the best interest of our employees and our customers, for that, we'll build a great business. And I'll stay positive. And I don't see anything, you know, ever going away. Lastly, I would offer that I have 2 beautiful daughters. So no matter what's going on in the world, when I come home and I see my 2 beautiful daughters and my beautiful wife, it all kind of goes away. So yeah. That's how I stay positive.
Yeah. And that's, you're even as you're talking to us, we're getting indicators of that culture and as a leader of why people are plugging in and why you're winning the battle for talent. Robert, I know that you have an incredibly busy schedule, but to me, this is such an important issue, this battle for talent, because we can't win it unless we have the best experts, just as you articulate. We can't win it, and especially with adversaries that don't worry about the constitutional rights and the ethics that we do. So I appreciate you, man, coming in. Really enjoyed the conversation and just taking the time to talk with us. And I hope we can do this again, because there's a lot of topics that we'd really welcome your insight on.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity. Standing by. But like I said, thank you very much.
GovCon Different. Ideas from the outside applied to GovCon to drive change.